If you could take out your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, we conclude our series today. And I've been so honored in talking with many of you about the way you've shared with me the different stories and the things that kind of have burbled to the surface. And in some ways, maybe wounds that you thought were healed, you recognize, whoa, I maybe haven't really dealt with that. Or issues that all of a sudden are right front and center again. Today we come to the conclusion of the sermon, but we certainly have only begun the process of being a 70 times 70 person. So we're going to start together and read this beautiful parable from which the entire sermon series has rested. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle them, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and hear this word. This is what forgiveness looks like. Canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all the debts of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. See, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. In some ways, Peter asked that silly question, how many times, God? How many times, Jesus, should I be a forgiver? Jesus, in some ways, gives a silly answer back. You want a number? Well, here it is. A huge number. You can't ever forgive enough. Jesus' point, life is to be lived underneath of the reality of the grace you have received. Have you been forgiven? And if the answer is yes, what does that mean about life for you? You ought to be a forgiver. We looked way back in our first one, it seems so long ago now, about this beautiful passage in Micah. Micah, who would beautifully lay out for us, what is it that we know about this God that we serve? Who is God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Who is our God? A God who doesn't bear down on us when he forgives. It's a God who in his love wipes the slate clean. And then, this is so precious, and you will again have compassion on us, and you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. This is the God we serve, brothers and sisters. This is the God who loved us so much that he would send his son to wipe the slate clean. You see, back when the time when the whole world seems to be falling apart, when God looks down and he sees the people who have become wicked, who have become totally destructive to this beautiful creation of God, God looks upon humanity and says, I'm going to spare Noah and his family. And you see, from the very moment that God hung the rainbow in the sky, from that moment on, God was choosing a different route than to be angry, and then to be one who would come down upon the heads of those who sin. From that moment on, God moved away from destruction, and he moved towards forgiveness. And so God would set the course to bring his son so that truly our sins could be hurled into that huge ocean of forgiveness. And on account of that, God says, if you've been forgiven much, which all of us here have to say, well, of course we have, then, as Paul would say in Colossians, then bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Our forgiveness hinges upon the reality of God forgiving us. And so Luke then would say, this is the words of Jesus, so watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So think about this for a moment, that the two of these things are sitting together. They're resting together simultaneously. God's calling you and me to be forgivers. And as we seek to forgive, God reminds us, if a brother comes to you to repent and says those amazing, wonderful words, I am sorry, what ought we do? Receive that and say, I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. But there's one big problem. Isn't there always a but? I mean, doesn't it always seem like when you say something and all of a sudden someone says, yeah, but. Does anybody come into this point in the sermon and go, but that's not my situation? How many of you have been in a situation where someone's come back to you, asked for forgiveness, and at that point you decided, well, I'll decide whether or not I'm forgiving you. I don't think that's the reality of most of us here. Most of us would say, if someone would come back and in true repentance with a heart that's truly understanding of what they've done, and they say to you, I am sorry, I have a feeling of knowing you, you would say, I forgive you. True? So that's not the problem. You read the text which says, going back two slides, the one who repents, we forgive. We go, got it. I'm there. But that's not my issue. That's not where I find myself today. Where do we find ourselves often? And where do we struggle the most? How many would agree? They've not apologized. All they would have to do, and I don't care even how long of it is, all they would have to do is say the simple words, I am sorry. And you sit and you wait and you ponder and you pray and you keep wondering, will they ever say those words? I blew it. Would you forgive me? So what do you do? Is this whole series something that we can kind of just chuck to the wind? Because, well, that certainly doesn't apply to me. They have no clue how much they have hurt me. And until they really get a grasp of how much they have hurt me, how can I possibly forgive? We've been talking about what happens to a person who lives perpetually in a state of unforgiveness. I want to demonstrate something briefly before we go to that next slide. And I've been trying to think who I could have help me with this. Uriah, are you good with coming up with me a second? Okay, good. Okay, I just need to, you don't have to say anything. You just need to stand here, okay? So they're about right up on the top here, okay? So we're going to talk about this being the thing I did wrong. The thing I did wrong, I did to Uriah. And now, here he is. And there he is sitting with the burden of what I've done to him. And now, for whatever reason, I leave his life. I maybe at some point maybe even die. I some maybe move. I may be completely separated from the burden that I placed on his back. He is hurting. And perhaps he's angry. And justifiably so. He can't believe that I did this to him. I placed this huge burden on him. Just stay right there. And then I left. And now there's Uriah. The burden's on his back. And we start seeing in his life just this weight of things being crushed down. Out of the blue, all of a sudden there's a response of anger, and he wonders why. Maybe there's this response sometimes of really clipped and short, and you go, wow, where did that come from? And there he stands, going through life with that burden on his back. Here's the question. How long will he stand here waiting for me to come back to take the load off his back? And if he stands there perpetually, who has the power in this situation over him? Who? I do. But who has the power to take the burden off his back? Could you take that thing off if you wanted? You could. I bet you could, couldn't you? You could get that thing off you. You could stand there perpetually, but at some point in your journey, you have to get to the reality that say, wait a minute. If I keep waiting for the person who placed this burden on my back to come over graciously and go, oh, I'm sorry for doing this, which might happen, you might be waiting a long, long time. Thank you, Uriah. Frederick Buechner said it this way, of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue, the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come. If only I could get to see him again, I'd give him a piece of my mind. To savor to the last tooth, some morsel, both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back, in many ways, listen, this is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. given me an apology. How can I possibly say you're forgiven? The longer you stand with the burden on your back, you are waiting for an apology that puts the power in the hands of the very one who hurt you. And when you see it, every one of you go, duh, of course. But the question is, how long will you stand there? How long will you wait for them to come back? In basketball, there's a thing called the flagrant foul, flagrant one and flagrant two. And that somehow, if you somehow get hit somewhere in the head region, then they will decide what type of flagrant. Imagine if I'm standing there and I get this big rebound and I'm sick and tired of Brad's right on top of me trying to take the ball away, and I take a big elbow and I just poosh, right through his mouth. Teeth go flying, blood's dripping, he's on the floor. And he stays on the floor. And stays on the floor, and stays on the floor. And he finally looks up to his teammate who's been trying to help him out, trying to get him up and offer him something to get him stop the bleeding. He finally looks up and he says, I'm not getting off this floor until that Pastor Tim comes back and says, I'm sorry. I'm staying right here. Y'all would say that's dumb. Get up. And yet, we do the same thing when it comes to forgiveness. Do you think God, when he said to us, forgive as God forgave you, was saying, start the forgiveness process only and if only they first come to you and ask for forgiveness? Well, certainly that would be wonderful if that took place. But we have to choose to forgive. The person who hurt us should not be the person who decides whether or when we should recover from the pain that they brought us. Are you with me? So you wonder why it is you lash out at the loved ones around you. Why is it that you get mad when you recognize that deep inside is a wound that you've never let go? There's a burden on your back you've never released. And God is saying, haven't you heard? Forgiveness has to be a pattern of life. And God's desire is that you live in joy, that you be free from the weights that others place upon you. At some point, we need to choose forgiveness. Someone says, well, when do I do that? I love what Smeeds just said. Sometimes you go too soon, and sometimes you wait too long. But there's a point where you just simply are crying out to God, and in your heart, you begin to understand you must move towards forgiveness. You move too soon, and you haven't recognized the pain. You wait too long, and the drip of the pain, like an IV, goes through your whole body. At some point, you make the declaration, God, as you have forgiven me, I choose to forgive. So what do we choose? We choose life for our future. We say the pain and hurt of our past, it will always be part of our past. But I am not going to carry that burden. I'm not going to carry this crazy backpack with me the rest of my life. I'm choosing to let it go. I'm choosing to separate from it and move forward. I'm not going to have the pain of my past define my future. God has set us free from that. And he so badly is wanting you and me to live in that freedom. Two, we're not going to excuse the pain, but acknowledge it. We're not going to say, well, you know, they probably did it because, or I think they were like. Listen to what Smeed would say. We look the evil full in its face. We call it what it is. We let its horror shock and stun and enrage us. And only then do we forgive. Only then do we stare it in the face and recognize it for what it is. What are you doing in your own journey when it comes to that pain? Can you fundamentally say, this is not the way it's supposed to be? It never should have been this way. And I acknowledge my hurt, and I acknowledge before you, God, the depth of my pain. It's only then that we are ready to move to say, and I forgive. And here is such an important point. At some point, we do what God is saying all along. Don't you recognize that my shoulders are able to carry this burden? My shoulders are here for you to cast this burden on. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Cast your anxieties on me because I care for you. Why is it that we keep bearing the burden? Lord Jesus Christ, I'm tired. I'm wore down carrying this thing. Please, take it. Because I know you have the power and strength to do so. The work continues. Anyone who says forgiveness is easy has got it all wrong. We have to begin to say, I choose not to raise this offense in an accusatory way. I'm not going to all of a sudden come up and just hammer you over what has happened. I'm not going to talk about it in a way that seeks revenge, hoping for revenge. I choose to forgive. And I set it aside. I'm not going to go around and say, do you know what so-and-so did? Can you believe what he did to me? Can you? You're not ready to forgive if in your heart those are the words that continue to dribble out of your mouth. To forgive is to say, this is a matter that is done. Painful, but past. I choose to forgive. Oh. And then we don't bring it up anymore. We don't carry it around like on a little satchel or a purse that goes, just in the moment. Maybe in my relationship when, you know, my husband said they were sorry and then all of a sudden that issue arises again. I thought it was done with, and then out of your little pack you can just throw it like a little hand grenade in. Do you remember when you? That's not forgiven. That's something that you kept at the moment's notice to be able to fly in the face of the person that hurt you. When we forgive, we say, this is done. I'm not going to bring this up again. I'm not going to throw it out at you whenever I feel like it. This is finished. And then lastly, when you're lying in bed at night, are you rolling through it all, stirring it up? You can see it in your mind's eye, and that anger and the vengeance is still right at the tip of your emotions. When we forgive, we say, God, help me to lay this burden in all of its pain, in all of its hurt, in everything that it did to me, I am leaving it before you. Take the burden from me. Help my mind to be at rest. Because today, I am choosing to forgive. So let me ask, what in your life are you holding on to What in your life right now has got to be let go of before the foot of the cross? Where is it that you keep dragging the painful past into your presence? And what's happening is the devil is so filled with glee because this thing's happened so long ago and it's still something you're dealing with today. God has said, that's why I sent my son, to deal with that so you don't have to. Brothers and sisters, at some point, maybe the next time you're praying the Lord's Prayer and those words fall off your tongue, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and all of a sudden you recognize there's some work that needs to be done yet in your heart. Maybe it's the next time you come through your devotions and you come across Matthew 18. Maybe it's when you stare at a picture, you see it, and you know the hurt of your past, and you come to that point where you say, God, help me to forgive. I am ready for that radical surgery to take place. I choose to forgive. Let us pray. Oh God, we know where there is those shackles, those burdens that we drag along with us, and we so badly want to be free. And so, Lord, by the power of the Spirit and through the resurrected, ascended Lord Christ, break those chains. We leave them at your feet. It is only through the power and through the grace of Christ that we can move in freedom. Help us